Table of Contents 4, Tape 5, Side 1. Lesson 19, Using the JAWS Dictionary Manager. Lesson 20, Using the JAWS Autographic Labeler and the Graphics Wizard Dialog. Lesson 21, Using the Clipboard, Tape 5, Side 2. Lesson 22, Using the Windows Help Dialog. Lesson 23, Using the JAWS Drag and Drop Feature. Lesson 24, Using the Windows Taskbar Properties Dialog. Lesson 25, Using the Adjust JAWS Verbosity Dialog. This learning module is entitled Using the JAWS Dictionary Manager. This lesson will introduce you to the JAWS Dictionary Dialog and show you how to change the pronunciation of specific words or phrases.
We can either activate the Dictionary Manager from within the JAWS Manager's dialog or by using the keystroke Insert plus the letter D. Either way, we'll activate the exact same dialog. Activating the Dictionary Manager from within an application will bring up the Dictionary Manager for that application. Now, the way words are pronounced is going to vary from synthesizer to synthesizer. I happen to know of one word that JAWS has a little difficulty speaking along with the Eloquent synthesizer. You will encounter the word strikethrough in a couple of the popular off-the-shelf word processing programs. I'm going to go ahead and type in the word strikethrough in my HJPad word processor.
S-T-R-I-K-E-T-H-R-O-U-G-H.
I'll do a read line.
Strikethrough.
And we hear JAWS pronounce strikethrough instead of strikethrough. I'm going to press the home key to move my insertion point to the far left on this line.
Home.
And if I press the number 5 or center key on my numpad, I'll hear that my insertion point is just to the left of the S in the word strikethrough.
S.
My insertion point could be to the left of any of the characters of this word, and when I activate the JAWS Dictionary Dialog, JAWS will already know what word we'd like to change the pronunciation of. I'm going to press the JAWS keystroke that activates the JAWS Dictionary Manager. That keystroke is the Insert in combination with the letter D, as in dictionary.
jfw.jdf-jaws-dictionary-manager, add dot 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 button.
So you hear that we're in the JAWS Dictionary Manager dialog, and we've ended up on a add button. Let's go ahead and tab through the other controls in this dialog.
Tab. Dictionary entries extended select list box. 0 items.
So I hear that I end up in a list box, and I want to hear what this list box represents. So I'm going to press Insert plus F1 to get JAWS screen sensitive help.
This list box contains the list of original entries and their replacements. This list changes as dictionary entries are added, changed, and deleted. Press Alt-C to change the current list item. Press Alt-D to delete the current list item. Use the arrow keys to select an item.
This list view is where all our new entries are going to appear for the HJPad application. Because HJPad doesn't have any dictionary rules already specified, there are 0 items in this list box. I'm going to press Tab.
Tab. Search for entries edit.
Here we are in a search for entries edit field. And this is an incremental search edit field, which means if we had an extensive list of dictionary rules in that list box, as we typed in this field, our selection in that list box would move to the closest item matching those letters. I'll tab again.
Tab. Add dot 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 button.
We're back to the add button. I'm going to press enter to activate this button.
Enter. Add dictionary definition dialog. Actual word edit. Strikethrough.
And we hear that the word strikethrough, which is supposed to be pronounced as strikethrough, is automatically inserted into this actual word edit field. I'm going to tab to the next control.
Tab. Replacement word edit.
Here's the replacement word edit field, and we can put anything in this edit field and make JAWS pronounce strikethrough however we want. I'm just going to type in the word strike, followed by a space, followed by the word through.
S-T-R-I-K-E space T-H-R-O-U-G-H.
Now if I press insert plus up arrow to have JAWS say the current line, I'll hear that strikethrough is now pronounced the way it should be. I'll do this now.
Replacement word edit, strike through.
I'm going to tap to the next control.
Tab. OK button.
And press enter to activate the OK button.
Enter. Add dot 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 button.
We hear that our focus returns back to the JAWS Dictionary Manager dialog. However, notice, if I press the tab key, I'll go ahead and do this now.
Tab. Dictionary entries extended select list box. Not selected strikethrough equals strike through. 1 of 1.
We now have one rule in this list view that says strikethrough equals strike through. 1 of 1. I'm going to go ahead and select this item by pressing spacebar.
Space. Strikethrough equals strike through.
Now that we've selected an item in our list view, this dialog has changed and we have some additional options. I'm going to go ahead and tab to the next control.
Tab. Change dot 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 button.
Here we have the option of changing an existing rule. I'll tab again.
Tab. Delete button.
We can delete an existing rule. I'll tab again.
Tab. Search for entries edit.
There's that search for entries edit field that we saw earlier. I'll tab again.
Tab. Add dot 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 button.
And we're back to the add button. I'm going to press Alt plus F4 to exit the JAWS Dictionary Manager dialog.
Alt F4. Dictionary Manager dialog. Save changes to C:\JFW33\settings\NU\HJPAD.JDF?"
So JAWS is now asking me if I want to save the changes that I made in my Dictionary Manager. I'll go ahead and press Enter on Yes.
Enter. Document-HJPAD. Edit.
We're back in our HJPAD application. Now, whenever JAWS sees the word strike through when in HJPAD, it will pronounce it correctly. However, remember that this change was made within the HJPAD dictionary file and will not be carried over between applications. You can press Ctrl plus Shift plus D to load the default JAWS dictionary file. Whenever you load any of the managers from within a specific application, the rules or settings that you specify within that application-specific manager overrides the default manager settings when working in that application.
This learning module is entitled Using the JAWS Autographic Labeler and the Graphics Wizard Dialog. This lesson demonstrates how to have JAWS automatically label graphics using the Autographic Labeler and how to manually label graphics from within the Graphics Wizard Dialog.
The Graphic Labeler allows you to label icons, such as the buttons on a toolbar, for example, so JAWS will speak those graphics whenever you come across them using the JAWS cursor or mouse pointer. The autographic labeler takes advantage of what are known as tooltips. Tooltips are what appear on your screen when your mouse pointer is hovering over or sharing the same space as a toolbar item, such as a button. So in other words, as your mouse pointer is moving across the items on the toolbar, this information is popping up on the screen as soon as the mouse pointer hovers over a particular toolbar item. While this is very visual in nature, in the HJPAD program, as your mouse pointer hovers over or shares the same space with a particular toolbar item, information regarding that toolbar item shows up on our status bar. To illustrate, I'll turn on the JAWS cursor now and move up to the toolbar. The only way to do this is by using the JAWS cursor, which is synonymous to the mouse pointer. I'll press the minus key on the numpad to turn on the JAWS cursor.
JAWS cursor.
I'll press the page up key to bring my mouse pointer to the top of this screen.
Page up.
And then I'm going to press the home key to move it all the way to the far left edge of the screen.
Home.
I'm going to press the down arrow key twice until I hear JAWS speak graphic 14, followed by some other graphic characters.
File. Graphic 14, graphic 201, graphic 505, graphic 37, graphic.
I press Control to silence speech, but you can hear that we're now on a toolbar containing several buttons, which are identified by numbers representing those graphics. My mouse pointer is currently on a blank space, so I'm going to press Insert in combination with the right arrow, or number 6 on the numpad, to move to the first graphic item on my toolbar.
Graphic 14.
Now that my mouse pointer is hovering over this button, there's a tooltip that's now visible on the screen, and this information is going to disappear as soon as my mouse pointer moves off of this toolbar item. However, I can access the status bar because as soon as an item is highlighted on my toolbar, the information regarding that item appears on my status bar. The key combination to read the status bar is Insert plus Page Down or the number 3 key on your numeric keypad.
Makes the selection bold left parent toggle right parent resize symbol.
So this tells us that this is the graphic that activates the bold button. We also hear JAWS speak resize symbol on the status bar, which is an indication that my HJPAD application window is currently in a restored state. So I'm going to maximize it. Alt plus spacebar.
Alt space. Menu active. Restore grade.
Followed by the letter X.
X. Leaving menus. Document-HJPAD. Edit.
Now I'll read my status line.
For help, comma, press F1.
So because the size of my window's changed, that graphic is actually in another pixel location. I'm going to once again turn on the JAWS cursor.
JAWS cursor.
Press the page up key.
Page up.
Press the home key.
Home.
And down arrow twice.
File menu edit. Graphic 14, graphic 201, graphic 505, graphic 37, graphic 203 times.
I press Control to silence speech. In previous versions of JAWS for Windows, we would have needed to go and label each of these graphics individually and would have needed sighted assistance to do that. Provided a given application supports tooltips, we can now label these graphics with a single keystroke. That keystroke is Control plus Insert plus the letter G. I'll go ahead and press that key combination now.
Starting auto graphic labeler. Auto labeler finished. 16 graphics were labeled.
JAWS speaks, starting graphics labeler finished, and informs me that 16 graphics were labeled. Once again, I'm going to turn on my JAWS cursor.
JAWS cursor.
Move up to the top of this window with a page up.
Page up.
Press the home key to move to the left edge.
Home.
And now I'll down arrow 2 times.
File menu edit. Bold italic underline align left center align right times New Roman scroll down symbol 10 scroll down symbol.
That was the first toolbar. I'll down arrow to the next one.
Graphic 569 save document button print document button bold sort ascending button grade align right copy button grade align right graphic 521.
While we hear that there's still some numbers that identify graphics on our toolbar, the ones that were associated with a tooltip have been labeled. Let's say that I'd like to go manually label one of those graphics that didn't get labeled along with all those other tooltip items. We hear that the auto graphic labeler has labeled 18 graphics in the HJPAD application that are associated with tooltips. Some applications may not have an associated tooltip for a toolbar item, so you may want to go and label some graphics manually. In the case of HJPAD, the only graphic that didn't get labeled and wasn't associated with a tooltip item is located on the top line just to the left of the title bar. I'm going to go ahead and turn on the JAWS cursor.
JAWS cursor.
I'm going to press the page up key to move to the first line on this screen.
Page up.
and I'm going to press the Home key to move to the left edge.
Home.
I'm going to press the Say Current Line command, Insert plus Up arrow, to hear the information on our title bar.
Graphic 197 document, HJPAD minimize symbol, restore symbol, close symbol.
The first thing that Joss said in all of that was graphic 197, and in this case, my mouse pointer was already placed on graphic 197 when I pressed the Home key to move to the left edge of the screen. I'll press the number 5 to verify this, to read the current character.
Graphic 197.
And it's important to know that your mouse pointer does have to be on the graphic that you intend to label before activating the graphic labeler dialog. I'll go ahead and activate the graphic labeler dialog by pressing Insert plus the letter G now.
Graphics labeler dialog. The graphics labeler allows you to assign a label to the current graphic item. Type in the label you would like to have spoken for this graphic. Tab to the save to group and select where to save this label, and then enter or press escape to cancel label. Edit graphic 197.
So we're given a lot of information as to how to proceed within this dialog, and the last thing that Joss spoke was the name of the graphic that our mouse pointer was on before we activated this dialog, which was graphic 197. And we're automatically placed in a field in which we can type whatever it is we want this graphic to be called. Now, graphic 197 in the HJPAD application activates the application control menu, and we already know that pressing the key combination of Alt plus the spacebar activates the application control menu, so it's not very often that we're going to want to use our mouse pointer to activate that pull-down menu. The graphics labeler allows us to at least label this graphic so we can identify it in the future when we're moving around the screen using our mouse pointer or a Braille display. So I'm in a position where I can simply type in the words application control menu. I'm going to go ahead and do this now.
A-P-P-L-I-S-A-T-I-O-N space C-O-N-R-O-L space N-R-O-L space N-U.
I'll press Insert plus 8 to say the current line in this field.
Label. Edit application control menu.
And that's what I wanted to say whenever we come across graphic 197. Now, if I wanted to simply accept what I had just typed in this edit field, I could activate the OK button by simply pressing the Enter key, but there are a couple other controls that I'd like to show you in this dialog. I'm going to tab to the next control.
Tab, Braille Label, Edit.
Joss speaks Braille Label Edit, so if we're using a Braille display, we can actually select what we want to appear on our display when this particular graphic shows up. In this case, application control menu would take up a lot of Braille cells, so instead of having application control menu show up on my Braille display every time I come across graphic 197, I'm going to tell JAWS to simply display the letters ACM. I'll type that in this field now.
ACM.
Do a say current line.
Braille label. Edit ACM.
And that's what I want, so I'm going to tab to the next control.
Tab, save to application graphic file radio button checked, 1 of 3.
Here we're placing a group of radio buttons, and JAWS speaks save to application graphic file, and the other two choices are save to the default graphic file or save to both. Since the graphic that represents the application control menu can change from program to program, I'm just going to accept save to application graphic file. I'll tab to the next control.
Tab, OK button.
And I'm going to activate the OK button.
Enter edit.
We're back into our main document edit field, and since my mouse pointer hasn't moved since I activated the graphics labeler, I can simply press the number 5, and I'll hear that graphic 197 has been relabeled to application control menu. I'll press the number 5 now.
Application control menu.
Today's learning module is entitled Using the Clipboard. This lesson demonstrates techniques of manipulating text in a document and moving between applications as you practice copying, cutting, deleting, and pasting text using the Windows Clipboard feature.
The clipboard can best be described as a place in your computer's memory used for temporarily storing data. This data can be in the form of shortcuts, files, folders, text, and other types of program information. Generally speaking, if an application allows you to select a specific block of information, chances are pretty good that that information can in turn be cut or copied to the clipboard, allowing you to paste that information either someplace else within the same application or between applications. The type of data that we're going to use for the purposes of this lesson is going to be in the form of text. However, in the section on Windows Explorer, you will learn how to move files between folders using the Windows Clipboard. Currently, I've got two applications running, JAWS for Windows and HJPAD. My focus is currently on the HJPAD application window, and I can confirm this with Insert plus the letter T to read the title bar. I'll go ahead and do this.
Title equals document-HJPAD.
And in the HJPAD main application window, I've got a document opened entitled jumbled.doc. And if you would like to follow along with this lesson using the same document, you may locate the jumbled.doc document at c:/jfw33/training/enu. And of course, this assumes that you selected the default path when installing JAWS for Windows on your computer. Go ahead and stop the Using the Clipboard lesson at this time and open the jumbled.doc document before continuing with this lesson. If you've just opened the jumbled document, you should be just to the left of the first letter in this document. And if you've already been exploring a little bit in this document, just go ahead and press the key combination of Control plus the number 7 key or home key on your numpad to move your insertion point to the beginning of the document. I'm going to press the JAWS Say All command to read the text of this document.
This is the beginning of the document in the first line of text. This is the second line of text. This is the fourth line of text. This is the third line of text. This is the fifth line of text. This is the sixth line of text. This line of text does not belong in this document and should be deleted. This is the tenth line of text and the end of the document. This is the eighth line of text. This is the text of line 9. This is the seventh line of text.
We hear that we have 10 lines of text that are mostly out of sequence, and by using the clipboard, we're going to be able to rearrange the text in this document to make it read in its proper sequential order. I'm going to press the Say Current Line command.
This is the seventh line of text.
JAWS speaks, this is the seventh line of text, so I know that this is the end of the document because this is the last thing that we heard when we pressed our Read All command. So our insertion point is down at the bottom of the document. I'm going to press Control plus Home to return my insertion point to the beginning of the document.
Up a file, this is the beginning of the document in the first line of text.
JAWS speaks that this is the beginning of the document in the first line of text, so we hear that this is correct where it is. I'm going to down arrow one time to read the next line.
This is the second line of text.
Again, this is correct. I'll down arrow once again.
This is the fourth line of text.
And we hear this is the fourth line of text when we know that it should really read, this is the third line of text. I'll down arrow again.
This is the third line of text.
So what I'm going to do, knowing that my insertion point is currently at the beginning of this line, because when I pressed Control plus Home, not only did I go back to the top of the document, but I went all the way over to the left edge of that first line as well. But if I wanted to make absolutely sure that my insertion point was at the beginning of the line, I could just press the Home key to bring it there if it wasn't there already. I'll press the Home key now.
Home.
The insertion point is to the left of the T, and this is the third line of text. I'm going to select this line of text by pressing the Windows key combination of Shift plus the End key, or number 1, on your numpad. This will select or highlight everything to the right of the insertion point. I'll do this now.
Select. This is the third line of text.
And JAWS speaks, select. This is the third line of text. Now that I've got this information selected, I'm going to cut it to the clipboard. And when I do this, this information is going to disappear from my document and be placed temporarily in the clipboard. The shortcut Windows key combination used to cut selected data to the clipboard is Control plus the letter X as an X-ray. I'll go ahead and press this key combination now.
Cut selected to clipboard.
And now if I press the Say Current Line command, I'll go ahead and do this.
This is the fifth line of text.
JAWS speaks, this is the fifth line of text where our third line of text used to be. I'm going to up arrow one time until I hear this is the fourth line of text.
This is the fourth line of text.
Although I pressed the up arrow key to have JAWS move to and speak the prior line, my insertion point is still in the first position on this line. That is, just to the left of the T on the line that reads this is the fourth line of text. So my insertion point is already in a position where I can simply paste the information back into this document from the clipboard. This is going to place the third line of text in its proper position above the fourth line of text. Remember, when I selected the text to be cut to the clipboard, I selected everything, including the hard return, at the end of that line. The standard Windows shortcut key combination used to paste data from the clipboard is Control in combination with the letter V, as in Victor. I'll go ahead and do this now.
Pasted text from clipboard.
Now notice if I do a Say Current Line.
This is the fourth line of text.
Our insertion point is still where it was before. However, if I up arrow one time,
this is the third line of text.
We hear that our third line of text is now in its proper location. I'm going to down arrow until I hear this is the sixth line of text.
This is the fourth line of text. This is the fifth line of text. This is the sixth line of text.
So we hear that now all the lines from 1 to 6 are now in their proper order. I'll down arrow one more time.
This line of text does not belong in this document and should be deleted.
JAWS speaks, this line of text does not belong in this document and should be deleted. So I'm going to select this line of text the same way we did before, with a Shift plus End.
Select, this line of text does not belong in this document and should be deleted.
And now I'm simply going to press the Delete key to get rid of it.
E.
I'll do a Read Current Line.
This is the 10th line of text and the end of the document.
And JAWS speaks, this is the 10th line of text and the end of the document. We know that's not true. But we also know that the line that we intended to delete is now gone. Let's say, for the sake of illustration, that we didn't mean to get rid of that text, and we want it back. The standard Windows shortcut key to undo an editing function is Control in combination with the letter Z, as in zebra. I'll go ahead and press this now.
Undo. This line of text does not belong in this document and should be deleted.
And we hear that our text is back and highlighted, just as it was before we deleted it the first time. I'm going to delete this text again. I'll press the Delete key.
E.
And our insertion point is once again at the beginning of the line that reads, this is the 10th line of text and the end of the document. And we know that this isn't true, so I'm going to down arrow once again.
This is the 8th line of text.
Down arrow again.
This is the text of line 9.
And this one says, this is the text of line 9th. So we're going to have to come back to this line and move a couple words around to get it to read properly. I'll down arrow again.
This is the 7th line of text.
And again.
This is the 7th line of text.
We hear a ding and JAWS speaks, this is the 7th line of text again. So we're at the bottom of this document. We hear that lines 7, 8, and 9 appear in our document below the line that reads, this is the 10th line of text and the end of the document. And we could move these lines a single line at a time, but that wouldn't be very efficient. So we're going to actually select a block of text, that is multiple lines within this document, and move them to where they belong. I'm going to up arrow until I hear this is the 8th line of text.
This is the text of line 9.
Again.
This is the 8th line of text.
I'm going to select lines 8, 9, and 7 by holding the Shift key down in combination with the down arrow. And as I do this, I'll hear each line of text as it is selected. I'll go ahead and press Shift plus down arrow now.
Select, this is the 8th line of text.
Again.
Select, this is the text of line 9.
And again.
Select, this is the 7th line of text.
Let's say for the sake of example that I didn't want to select this last line. I could unselect this line by keeping the Shift key held down and pressing the up arrow key. I'll do this now.
Unselect, this is the 7th line of text.
And Jaws speaks unselect and reads the text that I just unselected. I'm going to shift down arrow to reselect the 7th line of text.
Select, this is the 7th line of text.
It's important to keep that Shift key held down as you're selecting text. Otherwise, using your navigational commands without the Shift key held down will cause your selection or highlight to disappear, resulting in no selected text. In addition to cutting text to the clipboard, I also have the option of copying selected text to the clipboard. Copying text to the clipboard will cause the currently selected text to remain in your document as a copy of that text is placed on the clipboard. The Windows shortcut keystroke to copy selected text to the clipboard is Control plus the letter C. I'll go ahead and do this now.
Copied selected text to clipboard.
Now that I've got a copy of that information both in my document and on the clipboard, I'm going to up arrow to where I want this text to actually appear, and later we're going to come back and get rid of the second occurrence of this text. I'll up arrow now.
This is the 10th line of text in the end of the document.
And this is where I want to paste my text, so I'll press Control plus the letter V.
Pasted text from clipboard.
Now if I do a read line, I'll go ahead and do this now.
This is the 10th line of text in the end of the document.
And up arrow.
This is the 7th line of text.
Again.
This is the text of line 9.
And again.
This is the 8th line of text.
We now have a copy of the same text both above and below the 10th line of text. I'm going to down arrow to the 7th line of text so that I can cut that information to the clipboard and paste it where it belongs. I'll down arrow.
This is the text of line 9.
And again.
This is the 7th line of text.
I'll press Shift plus the End key to select this line of text.
Select, this is the 7th line of text.
Control plus X to cut it to the clipboard.
Cut selected to clipboard.
Up arrow until I hear this is the 8th line of text.
This is the text of line 9. This is the 8th line of text.
And press Control plus V to paste the 7th line of text so it appears above the 8th line of text.
Pasted text from clipboard.
I'll do a read line.
This is the 8th line of text.
And up arrow.
This is the 7th line of text.
So all my lines are in proper sequence from line 1 through 10, and we've got a few extra ones after line 10 that we're going to get rid of later. However, as you may recall, line 9 has some words that have been sort of turned around, so they need to be rearranged so that line reads the same way that all the other lines in this document read. I'm going to down arrow to the 9th line of text.
This is the 8th line of text. This is the text of line 9.
And we hear Jaws speak, this is the text of line 9th. And of course it should read this is the 9th line of text. So I'm going to quickly move to the end of this line by pressing the End key, or the number 1 on the numpad.
End.
And read from right to left by word. I'll press Insert plus the number 4 on the numpad.
9.
And there's the first word that I'd like to move. You can select a single word at a time by holding down the Windows key combination of Control plus Shift plus right arrow. I'll go ahead and do this now.
Select 9.
And I'm going to cut this text to the clipboard. Control plus X.
Cut selected to clipboard.
I'll continue to read from right to left by word.
Line.
Here's the word line. And I'd like the word 9th to appear before the word line. And when we're reading a word at a time, that insertion point is always going to appear just to the left of the first character of a particular word. So I'm already in position to paste the word ninth before the word line. I'll go ahead and press Ctrl plus V to do this.
Pasted text from clipboard.
I'll read the current line.
This is the text of ninth line.
Now Jaws says, this is the text of ninth line. I'm going to select the two words, ninth and line. First, I'll read from left to right a word at a time till I hear the word ninth.
Ninth.
And now I'll hold down the Control plus Shift plus right arrow key to select both of those words. I'll do this now.
Select ninth.
While holding the Control and Shift key, I'm going to press right arrow again.
Select line.
And here are the two words that I'd like to cut to the clipboard. I can confirm my selection by pressing Shift plus Insert plus down arrow.
Selected text is ninth line.
Those are the two words that I would like to cut to the clipboard, so I'll press Control X to do this.
Cut selected to clipboard.
I'm going to move my insertion point all the way to the beginning of this line. I'll press the Home key now.
Home.
So here I am at the beginning of the line. I'll do a read word to make sure of this.
This.
And now I'm going to read from left to right until I hear the word text.
Is the text.
There it is. I'd like this line to read, this is the ninth line of text, so I'm going to paste the words ninth line right here. Control plus V.
Pasted text from clipboard.
Now I'll do a read current line.
This is the ninth line text of.
Jaws speaks, this is the ninth line text of, so of course we need to go get that word of and put it in the right place. So I'm going to press the end key to move to the end of this line.
End.
And I'm going to read back by word, insert left arrow.
Of.
There's the word I want to cut, so I'll press Control plus Shift plus right arrow to select this word.
Select of.
And I'm going to cut it to the clipboard.
Cut selected to clipboard.
Read from right to left.
Text.
There's where I want to place the word of. I'll press Control plus V.
Pasted text from clipboard.
Do a read current line.
This is the ninth line of text.
And now the ninth line of text reads correctly. Remember earlier, we copied, rather than cut, lines 7, 8, and 9 when they appeared below line 10. So we're going to want to get rid of that extra text at the end of this document. I'm going to down arrow until I hear this is the eighth line of text.
This is the tenth line of text in the end of the document.
I'll down arrow again.
This is the eighth line of text.
And I'm going to press the Home key to bring my insertion point to the far left edge of this line.
Home.
I can either select text up to the insertion point, that is, everything to the left of the insertion point, by pressing Control plus Shift plus the Home key on the numpad, or I can select everything to the right of the insertion point with Control plus Shift plus the End key or the number 1 on the numpad. I'm going to press Control plus Shift plus End now.
Select, this is the 8th line of text, this is the text of line 9, this is the 7th line of text.
So all that text is highlighted or selected, and now to get rid of it, all I need to do is press the delete key. I'll do this now.
Blank.
And now all three of those lines at the end of the document after this is the 10th line of text are gone. I'm going to jump back up to the beginning of this document and use the say all command to verify that the lines in this document appear in the proper order. Control plus home.
Top of file, this is the beginning of the document in the first line of text.
And I'll press say all, insert plus down arrow.
This is the beginning of the document in the first line of text. This is the second line of text. This is the third line of text. This is the fourth line of text. This is the fifth line of text. This is the sixth line of text. This is the seventh line of text. This is the eighth line of text. This is the ninth line of text. This is the tenth line of text in the end of the document.
And we hear that all the lines in this document appear in their proper sequence. If you'd like, you can select the contents of an entire document, place that information on the clipboard, and move that information either into another document or between applications. The standard Windows keystroke used to select all is Control plus the letter A. I'll press this key combination now.
Control A. This is the beginning of the document and the first line of text. This is the second.
I pressed the control key to silence speech because as that text was selected, it was spoken and it would have spoke all the way down to the end of this document. If I wanted to delete the entire contents of this document, I could press the delete key now that all this text is selected. I'll go ahead and do this now.
Blank.
Jaws speaks blank, and if I up arrow,
blank.
I hear the bell on my machine, which indicates that we're at the top edge of the document. I'll down arrow.
Blank.
And we're now at the bottom of the document. The only thing that appears in this document is a blank line. Incidentally, you may not have heard a bell, or the same sound, or any sound for that matter, depending on how your system sounds are set up. That's really a function of Windows, and what you hear is going to depend on what sound scheme is set up on your computer. Now that I've gotten rid of all this text, I want it back, so I'm going to press Ctrl plus Z to undo the last edit function.
Undo. This is the beginning of the document in the first line.
I pressed Ctrl to silence speech, and we hear that our document is back. Not only is this text back, but it's also selected the same way it was before I deleted it. So now I'm going to copy that same text to the clipboard. I'll press Ctrl plus C.
Copy selected text to clipboard.
Now to demonstrate how this text can be copied between applications once it's placed on the clipboard, I'm going to open the Notepad application. I'll press the Windows logo key.
Start menu, Internet Explorer.
I'll press P for Programs.
P, Accessories, Submenu, Programs.
I'll press A for Accessories.
A, Accessories, Accessibility, Submenu.
And I'll press N for Notepad.
N, Start Button, Notepad, Leaving Menus, Untitled-Notepad, Edit.
Here we are in a brand new Notepad session where there is currently no text. And now I'm just going to press Control plus the letter V to insert the text that we copied to the clipboard from HJPad. I'll press Ctrl V now.
Pasted text from clipboard.
Our text has been pasted into this Notepad document, and since the insertion point appears at the end of whatever it is you've pasted, our insertion point is currently at the end of this document, so I'm going to press Ctrl plus Home to go to the beginning of this Notepad document.
Top of file, this is the beginning of the document in the first line of text.
And we hear that the text that we selected and copied to the clipboard when we were in HJPad has been pasted into this Notepad document. Neither HJPad nor Notepad support multiple documents. However, you can have multiple sessions of these programs running at any given time. That's not recommended because multiple sessions just chews up more computer memory. However, programs such as Corel Word Perfect and Microsoft Word support a convention that allows you to have multiple documents running simultaneously. You can see how this would be very useful for copying text between documents of the same format.
You have reached the end of side one. Please fast forward to the end to cue up side two and turn the tape over. Table of contents for tape five, side two. Lesson 22, using the Windows Help Dialog. Lesson 23, using the JAWS drag and drop feature. Lesson 24, using the Windows Taskbar Properties Dialog. Lesson 25, using the Adjust JAWS Verbosity Dialog. This learning module is entitled, Using the Windows Help Dialog. This lesson will introduce you to the controls within the Windows Help dialog and will demonstrate how to navigate and read specific help topic information for your Windows operating system.
Currently, my focus is on the Windows 98 desktop, and the only program that I've got running is JAWS for Windows. You can access Windows Help in a couple of different ways. From the Start menu, by pressing the Windows logo key, followed by the letter H, and assuming that Help is the only item in your Start menu beginning with the letter H, we'll launch the Help dialog. And of course, if you have more than one item beginning with the letter H, you'll need to press H until you hear Help, and then press Enter on that. The shortcut keystroke to launch Help from the Windows desktop is the function key F1. And you'll discover that this is somewhat of a standard keystroke for obtaining help in most applications as well. I'm going to go ahead and press the function key F1 now.
F1.
I hear my hard drive spinning and Windows Help is loading.
Windows Help. Preview. Topic. Welcome to Help.
My application focus is in the Windows Help dialog. The currently focused upon control is a tree view, and the selected item within that tree view is a topic which is opened called Welcome to Help. And Welcome to Help is open by default. Now, there are two windows visible on the screen right now, and these windows are side by side. The one on the left contains our tree view, which I will refer to as the tree view pane, and the one on the right contains the text of our currently open topic. And I'll refer to this window as the information pane. We can move between these two windows by simply pressing the function key F6. So since the Welcome to Help topic is open, I'm simply going to press F6 to move over to the information pane and have JAWS read the text contained within that window. I'll press F6 now.
F6. Welcome to Help. Use the Help system to learn more about Windows 98, period. Find answers to your questions, period. Browse the online version of the Getting Started book, period. Connect to the web to get software updates, period. Troubleshoot your system, period. ANSI 169-1998 Microsoft Corporation, period. All rights reserved, period.
Now notice if I press F6 again, I'll go ahead and do this.
F6. Tree view. Topic Welcome to Help.
And we're back on the topic Welcome to Help within our tree view pane. I can either navigate this tree by first letter navigation or by using the up and down arrow keys. By default, we're placed at the top level in this tree view. I'm going to down arrow one time.
Book introducing Windows 98 closed.
JAWS speaks book introducing Windows 98 closed. So now instead of a topic in our tree view, the currently selected item is actually identified as a book. And books can contain either other books or topics. I'm going to down arrow one more time.
Book Exploring Your Computer closed.
I'd like to open the book called Exploring Your Computer, so I'm going to press the right arrow key one time.
Exploring Your Computer.
JAWS speaks Exploring Your Computer to indicate that this book has now been opened. But if I wanted to double-check this, I could simply press the JAWS Say Current Line command, insert plus up arrow. I'll go ahead and do this.
Book Exploring Your Computer opened.
Now I'm going to down arrow to a book called Keyboard Shortcuts and open that book.
Book the Windows Desktop. Book Work with Programs. Book Files and Folders. Book Customize with. Book Keyboard Shortcuts closed.
I'll press right arrow to open this book.
Keyboard Shortcuts.
And now I'm going to down arrow to see what is in this book.
Topic for Windows.
There's a topic called For Windows. I'll down arrow again.
Topic for Dialog Boxes.
Now I'm going to go ahead and open this topic by pressing the Enter key.
Enter. For Dialog Boxes.
Now I can go to the Information pane by pressing F6.
F6. Plus underlined command letter, click the selected button, enter, move backward through shift plus tab options, move backward through control plus shift plus tab tabs.
And JAWS speaks all the keystrokes that appear on this screen and gives us a description of what each keystroke does. Now because there's no caret in this window for the PC cursor to track, we're going to navigate the text in this window using the JAWS cursor. And this works very much the same way that it does when you're viewing an HTML document on the web. As a matter of fact, the keystrokes are the same. To read the current screen of text, press the key combination of Control plus Insert plus Down arrow. I'm going to do this, and shortly after I do, I'm going to press the Control key to silence speech.
Using shortcut keys in dialog boxes. To press, cancel the current task escape.
We hear Jaws speak, to press, cancel the current task escape. So what we've got here are two columns, and the one on the left is called to, so to do this action, and the one on the right is called press, so press this key. I can use any of the basic JAWS navigational commands to move around on this screen using the JAWS cursor or mouse pointer. Remember, the JAWS cursor and mouse pointer are synonymous terms. I can navigate a screen at a time by either pressing the key combination of Control plus Page Down or the number 3 on the numpad to move to and have JAWS read the next screen of information, or I can press Control plus Page Up to have JAWS move to and read the previous screen of information. I'm going to press Control plus Page Down.
Click the option if the current control is in Option button. Click the corresponding Alt plus Underlined. Underlined.
I press Control to silence speech. Now if I want to return to the window containing my tree view, I can simply press the F6 key again. I'm going to go ahead and do this.
F6. Tree view. Topic for dialog boxes.
And we hear that topic for dialog boxes is still selected in this tree view. As a matter of fact, much of the text of this topic is still visible on the screen. And if I were to do a read current line right here, I'll go ahead and do this.
Click the corresponding Alt plus Underlined.
We hear text in that window read to us because our JAWS cursor is still active. To read the currently selected item in this tree view, I'm going to need to turn the PC cursor back on, so I'm going to go ahead and do that by pressing the plus key on the numpad.
PC cursor.
And now I'll do a read current line.
Topic for dialog boxes.
And that's what should be read in this tree view. I'm going to down arrow until I hear the title of another book read to me called Exploring the Internet.
Topic for the desktop. Topic for my computer. Topic for Windows. Topic for the Windows. Book Exploring the Internet closed.
Here it is. I'll open this book with a right arrow.
Level 0, Exploring the Internet.
So here's another book that contains other books and topics, and I'm just going to down arrow one time to a topic called Explore the Internet.
Topic Explore the Internet.
I'm going to open this topic by pressing the Enter key.
Enter. Level 1, Explore the Internet.
And now I'm going to press F6 to go to my information pane.
F6. Explore the Internet. Internet Explorer brings many features to your Windows desktop, the ability to browse the web from anywhere on your computer, web.
I press Control to silence speech. This page not only contains the text of the current topic, but it also contains one link. So you can actually have several links within a help page. And some of those links will be related topics links. So, topics related to the subject that you happen to be reading about at any given time. This page only has one link, and it's actually called Click Here. Now, I warn you about Click Here. Click Here could either mean that it's going to bring you to another topic regarding this subject, or it may actually launch a program. For example, I believe in Calculator. The Click Here link on the Calculator help page actually launches the Calculator program. So, you want to be aware of that. I'm going to tab one time.
Click here.
And press Enter.
Enter. Internet Explorer Help. Tree view. Introducing the web browser topic.
So because I've got Internet Explorer installed on my computer, it actually brought me into Internet Explorer Help. And I can actually Alt-Tab between the two help screens that I've got open right now, the one that's specific to Windows 98 and the one that's specific to Internet Explorer. I'll go ahead and Alt-Tab once.
Alt-Tab. Windows Help. Click here.
There's our Windows Help, and we hear that the Click Here link in this window is currently focused on. I'm going to press Alt-Tab again.
Alt-Tab. Internet Explorer Help. Tree view. Topic introducing the web browser.
And here's Internet Explorer Help. So we hear that pressing Enter on the Click Here button in Windows Help actually launched Internet Explorer Help. And this help system is going to work the same way as Windows Help.
learning module is entitled Using the JAWS Drag and Drop Feature. This lesson demonstrates how to manipulate icons on your computer screen using the drag and drop feature.
The drag and drop feature is a function of Windows. It allows you to move items from one place on your computer screen to another. A mouse user would accomplish this task by first pointing to the item they wish to move, and then holding down the left mouse button as they drag that item across the screen to its desired location, and then let up on the left mouse button to drop it there. This can be a very useful way of manipulating and organizing information on your computer screen, provided that both the item that you'd like to move and the target destination are both visible on the screen at the time. While this may seem like a very visual means of organizing information on your computer screen, JAWS for Windows provides the ability to take advantage of the Windows drag and drop feature. In this lesson, I'm going to move an item from our desktop list view over to the Start menu. However, the techniques that I'm about to show you may be applied within applications and between applications. My application focus is currently sitting on the Windows desktop list view, and I've not yet selected anything. I'm going to go ahead and press the space bar to select the first item in my desktop list view, which is my computer.
Space, my computer.
As you may recall, the desktop list view is organized in rows and columns. And as we add items to our desktop list view, it can become cluttered and increasingly difficult to navigate. I've only got 13 items in my desktop list view, but among those 13 items, there are two shortcuts that I use all the time. The shortcut that launches Internet Explorer, the web browser, and the shortcut that launches Outlook Express, my email program. While these shortcuts will still be available to me in my desktop list view, I'd also like to have quick access to them within the Start menu. So I'm going to use the drag and drop feature to copy both of these items from my desktop list view to my Start menu. I'll begin by pressing the letter I to select the Internet Explorer shortcut icon on my desktop list view.
I, Internet Explorer.
Since we need to use our mouse pointer, or JAWS cursor, which emulates mouse pointer movement, I need to route my JAWS cursor to my application focus, or my PC cursor. So I'm going to do this now by pressing Insert in combination with the minus key on the numpad.
Root JAWS to PC.
JAWS speaks root JAWS to PC. Now if I do a read word, I hear that my JAWS cursor slash mouse pointer is currently on my Internet Explorer shortcut.
Internet.
I can turn on the drag and drop feature by pressing the key combination of Control plus Insert plus left mouse button. And on a standard 104 keyboard, the left mouse button is synonymous to the slash key on your numpad. I'll press this key combination now.
Place the JAWS or PC cursor in the drop location and press Control plus Insert plus numpad slash to drag and drop.
So immediately upon pressing that keystroke, JAWS speaks instructions on how to complete the drag and drop process. It says to place my JAWS or PC cursor in the drop location and press Control plus Insert plus the left mouse button again. I'm going to turn on the PC cursor once again.
PC cursor.
And tab over to the Start button.
Start button.
I'm now going to route JAWS to PC to place my mouse pointer on the Start button. Insert plus the JAWS cursor or minus key.
Route JAWS to PC.
And I'm going to press that keystroke, Control plus Insert plus left mouse button to drop the Internet Explorer shortcut in my Start menu. I'll carry out that keystroke now.
Dragging Internet to Start button, taskbar.
Now when I activate the Start button, either by pressing Enter on the Start button or pressing the Windows logo key, I can hear that the Internet Explorer shortcut has been added to my Start menu. I'll go ahead and press the Windows logo key now.
Start menu, Internet Explorer.
And we hear that Internet Explorer is now the first item in my Start menu. I'm going to go ahead and repeat these steps to move the Outlook Express shortcut from the desktop to my Start menu. I'll press Escape to get out of the Start menu.
Leaving menus, Start button.
And now I'll tab over to my desktop list view.
Tab, taskbar, tab, desktop, list view, Internet Explorer, 13 of 13.
I'll press the letter O for Outlook Express.
O, Outlook Express.
I'll route JAWS to PC.
Route JAWS to PC.
Press Control plus Insert plus left mouse button to turn on the drag and drop feature.
Place the JAWS or PC cursor in the drop location and press Control plus Insert plus numpad slash to drag and drop.
I'll turn my PC cursor back on.
PC cursor.
Tab over to the Start button.
Start button.
And drop the Outlook Express shortcut in my Start menu.
Dragging Outlook to Start button. Taskbar.
I'll activate the Start menu by pressing the Windows logo key.
Start menu, Internet Explorer.
There's the Internet Explorer shortcut that we added. If I down arrow one time, I'll go ahead and do this.
Outlook Express.
We hear that the Outlook Express shortcut has been added to our Start menu as well.
This learning module is entitled Using the Windows Taskbar Properties Dialog. In this lesson, you will learn techniques of creating shortcuts in your Start menu and setting up hotkeys that will enable you to quickly launch applications.
This section is going to touch on the Taskbar Properties Dialog. In this lesson, you'll learn how to place a shortcut to JAWS for Windows in your Start menu so that it appears in that root level of your Start menu as soon as you press the Windows logo key. I'll also be showing you how to set up a hotkey combination that you can use whenever you want to quickly launch the JAWS for Windows program. We're going to accomplish both of these tasks from the Customizing tab of the Taskbar Properties dialog. Activate the Taskbar Properties dialog by first pressing the Windows logo key. I'll go ahead and do this now.
Left Windows, Start Menu, Programs.
I'll activate the Settings option from within the Start menu by pressing the letter S.
S, Control Panel, Settings.
And of course, if you have more than one item beginning with the letter S, you'll have to press S until you get to Settings and then activate that menu option by pressing the Enter key. In my case, it is the only thing that appears in my Start menu beginning with the letter S. And the first option within this Settings submenu is the Control Panel. And we want Taskbar and Start Menu. And this is a couple choices down. We can either arrow down there and activate it by pressing Enter or simply press the letter T. I'm going to press the letter T now.
T. Leaving Menus. Taskbar Properties Dialog. Taskbar Options Page. Always on top, checkbox checked.
Here we are in the Taskbar Properties dialog, and we've landed on the first of two pages in this dialog. And as I mentioned earlier, what we want to accomplish can be done from the Customizing tab. So I'm going to press Control Tab, the standard Windows keystroke to get me between tab pages.
Customize Start Menu at dot 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 button, Start Menu Programs.
JAWS speaks Customize, Start Menu, Add dot 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 button, Start Menu Programs. And we've got some other controls in this dialog, such as a Remove button if we want to remove a program, and the Advanced button, which we will be activating in our exercise on setting up a hotkey. But for now, I'm going to activate the Add button by pressing Enter on it.
Enter. Taskbar Properties dialog. Start Menu Programs page. You can customize your Start menu by adding or removing items from it, period. Create shortcut dialog. Type the location and name of the item you want to create a shortcut to, period. Or comma, search for the item by clicking browse, period. Command line colon edit.
So we're placed on an edit field in the add dialog, in which we can type the name of the program that we would like to launch. That is, if we know the path and the file name, and we're going to do that. However, if we didn't know the name of the program that we would like to place in our start menu and we'd like to search for it, we can tab over to the Browse button and press Enter on that. And this would allow us to search for the program or the folder or whatever we want to place in our start menu using a Windows Explorer type of dialog. So like I said, we're in this edit field, and I'm in a position where I can now type the path and the file name of the program that I'd like to launch. I selected the default path when installing JAWS for Windows on my computer, so everything having to do with JAWS for Windows is in a folder called JFW33 in this case. And it's on my C drive, so I'm going to type C:\JFW33\JFW.exe. This specifies both the path and the file name of the JAWS for Windows program. I'll go ahead and type this in here now.
C:\JFW33\JFW.exe.
Now I've specified my path and file name. I'm going to press the Enter key to activate the Next button at this point.
Enter. Select Program Folder Dialog. Select Folder to Page. Tree View. Programs opened.
Here we're placed in a tree view, and I'm being asked to select the folder in which I'd like to place my shortcut. And in this case, Programs is currently opened. I don't want to place the shortcut in my Programs folder. I'd like to place it on the root level of my Start menu. So as soon as I open the Start menu, there it is. I'm going to press Up arrow to Start menu.
Start menu opened.
And we hear that the Start menu is opened. At this point, all I need to do is press the Enter key. I'll go ahead and do that now.
Enter. Select the title for the program dialog. E for the shortcut colon page. Select the name for the shortcut colon edit. JFW.x.
And I don't want this to be called JFW.x. I'm simply going to call it JAWS. I'll type that in.
JAWS.
And press Enter.
Enter. Taskbar Properties Dialog. Start Menu Programs Page. You can customize your Start Menu by adding or removing items from it, period. Customize Start Menu Add ... button.
So we hear that we're back in our Customizing tab of our Taskbar Properties Dialog. Now notice when I press the Windows logo key, I'll go ahead and do this now.
Left Windows, Start Menu, JAWS.
We hear that on my computer, JAWS appears as the first choice in my Start menu now. So if I didn't have Run JAWS First checked in my JAWS application window under Files, or if I didn't have a shortcut key set up to Run JAWS, I could easily enough run the JAWS program by simply pressing one of the Windows logo keys followed by the letter J. And since this is the only item beginning with J in my Start menu, JAWS would come up talking. Now let's take a look at how to set up a hotkey combination. I'm going to exit the Start menu by pressing the Escape key.
Leaving Menus, Taskbar Properties Dialog, Start Menu Programs Page, you can...
I press the Control key to silence speech. We've already heard this. We're back in our Taskbar Properties Dialog on the Add button. I'm going to tap twice to the Advanced button.
Tab. Customize Start Menu Remove ... button. Tab. Customize Start Menu Advanced ... button.
I'll activate this button by pressing Enter.
Enter. Exploring -C:\ Windows / Start Menu. Tree View. Opened. Start Menu.
You were placed into a Windows Explorer dialog, and the first selected item in the tree view that we've landed on is Start Menu, where we placed our JAWS for Windows shortcut. I'm going to tab over to the list view of this dialog.
List view, not selected programs file folder 1/25/99255pm, 1 of 2.
And I'm going to down arrow until I hear JAWS.
JAWS.
There it is, the shortcut that we created in our Start menu. You notice that there are only two items in this folder, the Program submenu and the item that we've added, which is JAWS. I'm going to press the shortcut key combination to activate the Properties dialog for the currently selected item, which is JAWS. The keystroke to do this is Alt in combination with the Enter key. I'll go ahead and do this now.
Alt Enter. JAWS Properties dialog. Shortcut page. Target type colon application. Target colon edit. C colon backslash JFW33/JFW.x.
So there's the target, that is the program that this shortcut points to, which is the path that we specified earlier, C colon backslash JFW33/JFW.exe. I'm going to tab twice until I hear shortcut key.
Tab. Start and tab. Shortcut key colon hotkey. None.
So we hear that there is currently no shortcut or hotkey specified. I'd like the shortcut key combination to launch my JAWS for Windows program to be Control plus Alt plus J. So I can specify this by simply pressing the letter J here.
J.
Notice now when I do a read current line, insert plus up arrow.
Control plus Alt plus J.
That's now what appears in this field. I'm going to tab to the next control.
Tab. Run colon combo box. Normal window.
Here we're placed in a combo box asking us, what type of window do you want this to be when you launch the JAWS for Windows program? And, of course, this could be any program. In the case of JAWS for Windows, normal window is fine. The other two items that appear in this combo box are minimized and maximized. So, if you're running a certain program that you'd like to be maximized immediately upon opening it, you would down arrow to the maximized option before pressing enter on the OK button in this dialog. As a matter of fact, I can activate the OK button from where I am simply by pressing the enter key here on normal window. I'll go ahead and do this now.
Enter. Exploring dash C colon backslash windows backslash start menu. List view. JAWS 1KB shortcut 3/8/99 2:39 p.m. 2 of 2. JAWS.
I am going to actually exit this dialog by pressing Alt plus F4.
Alt F4. Exploring dash C colon backslash windows backslash start menu. Taskbar properties dialog. Start menu programs page. You can customize your start menu.
I pressed the control key to silence speech because we've heard that before. We're back in our taskbar properties dialog. I'm going to exit that as well. Alt F4.
Alt F4. Taskbar.
Our focus is placed on the taskbar on our desktop. Now I'm going to unload the JAWS for Windows program, that is, remove it from memory completely, and then use my Control plus Alt plus J shortcut key to see if it launches the program. I'll press Insert in combination with the function key F4 to bring up the Quit JAWS for Windows dialog.
Unloading JAWS. JAWS. Quit JAWS for Windows dialog. Are you sure you want to quit JAWS question? Quitting stops speech and unloads JAWS from memory period. Press OK to quit comma or cancel to abort exiting period. OK button.
My focus is on the OK button. I'll press Enter to accept that. Now JAWS is out of memory, and I'll use my shortcut key, Control plus Alt plus J, to launch JAWS for Windows.
JAWS for Windows is ready. For screen-sensitive help, press Insert plus F1. For JAWS help keys or help and dialog boxes, press Insert plus H. For a summary of Windows shortcut keys, press Insert plus W. Taskbar.
And we hear we're back in JAWS for Windows, and my focus is still on the taskbar. So this is a nice option if you're not the only person using your computer, and not everybody using your computer requires speech.
This learning module is entitled Using the Adjust JAWS Verbosity Dialog. This lesson demonstrates how to select how much and the types of information you would like JAWS to speak while in a given Windows session.
The Adjust JAWS Verbosity Dialog may be activated from whatever application you happen to be in at any time by simply pressing the keystroke of Insert in combination with the letter V, as in verbosity. I'll press Insert plus V now.
Adjust JAWS Verbosity Dialog. List box. User verbosity. 1 of 8.
We hear that we land in a list box containing 8 items. The selected item by default in this list box being user verbosity. The only two other controls in this dialog, if I were to tab, would be a close button and an execute button. I'm going to press Insert plus F1 to get JAWS screen-sensitive help on how to proceed within this dialog.
This is an execute item list box. Use the arrow keys or the first letter to move to an item. Use the space bar to toggle the selected item. Use the Enter key to close this dialog.
So we hear more specifically that not only is this a list box, but it's a different type of control called an execute item list box. And JAWS also tells us that we may either navigate through this list box by using the up and down arrow keys or by pressing the first letter of the item that we'd like to go to. We cycle between all of the choices in this list box, that is, all of the choices that are pertinent to the currently selected item, by pressing the space bar. For example, our focus is currently on user verbosity, and by default, user verbosity is set to a beginner level of verbosity. The other two choices for verbosity level are intermediate and advanced. The difference being the amount of information that JAWS speaks based on the currently selected user verbosity setting. Now, all of the items that appear within this execute item list box can also be changed from within the JAWS Configuration Manager. Setting our user verbosity at Advanced will speak the least amount of information. This is very useful if you're in an application that you're very familiar with, and setting user verbosity to an advanced level tells JAWS that you don't want to hear all the information that might be related to a particular control or window, and saves you some time by allowing you to focus in, let's say, on a particular control within an application. An example would be when you activate the open dialog, instead of JAWS speaking file name colon edit, the way it would at a beginner level of verbosity, you might only hear file name at an advanced level of verbosity. We can cycle through any of the options in this execution item list box by simply pressing the space bar. I'm going to press the space bar now.
Space bar. Intermediate level. User verbosity.
I'll press it again.
Space bar. Advanced level.
And again.
Space bar. Beginner level.
You hear we're back to beginner level, which is the default setting in JAWS for Windows. Many advanced users of JAWS for Windows like to keep this set at beginner level, because it gives the most amount of feedback when navigating through various windows and dialogs. I'm going to down arrow to the next item in my execute item list box.
Graphics verbosity.
Here we can set the level of graphics verbosity. I'll press the space bar to see what options I have for this item.
Space bar, no graphics.
There's no graphics, telling JAWS to ignore all graphics on the screen and don't speak them. I'll press space bar again.
Space bar. Labeled.
This tells JAWS to only read those graphics that have been labeled. I'll press spacebar again.
Spacebar, all graphics.
And we're back to our default setting, which is all graphics. In which case, of course, JAWS will read all graphics, whether they're labeled or not. I'm going to press down arrow again.
ANSI character verbosity.
We hear JAWS speak ANSI character verbosity, and ANSI, ANSI, is an acronym that stands for American National Standard Institute. These are characters that are included in what's known as the ASCII character set, and ASCII being another acronym standing for American Standard Code of Information Interchange. JAWS will identify these characters by first speaking ANSI and then the number that's associated with that ANSI character. Pressing spacebar on this item will allow you to select the amount of ANSI characters that are spoken. This item is set to all by default, but if you're working in a program where hearing ANSI characters really isn't of any benefit to you, you may want to cycle it to no ANSI. I'm going to down arrow to the next item in this list.
Braille verbosity.
And just like user verbosity, those settings are beginner, intermediate, and advanced. I'll down arrow again.
Screen echo.
Here we can set the amount of information that is spoken when information is written to our screen. And our choices here are all, none, and highlighted text. This item is set to highlighted by default, and this is because most of the time we're probably more concerned with where the highlight is, whereas setting screen echo to all may repeat information on your screen each time new information is written to your screen. Cycling this option to none tells JAWS not to read anything that's written to the screen. In order to function properly within a menu system, for example, this option needs to be set for highlighted text. However, there are those occasions where you may want to have screen echo set to echo all, like in a DOS window, for example. I'm going to down arrow to the next item in this list.
Typing echo.
JAWS speaks typing echo, and this has to do with what is spoken by JAWS when inputting information into our computer, that is, typing on our computer keyboard. This item is set to echo characters by default, so each time you type a keystroke, it gets echoed back to you. The other two options are words, which will allow you to hear the word that you just typed whenever you press a punctuation mark, spacebar, or hard return. This item can also be set to none, so JAWS doesn't speak anything while you're typing. I'm going to down arrow to the next item in this list.
Say all by.
And the choices here are say all by line, paragraph, or sentence. And the default setting is say all by line. This is going to affect where pauses are placed when using the say all command to read a document, for example. If you select say all by line, you'll notice a pause whenever you go to a new line. Say all by sentence will place a pause between sentences, and say all by paragraph places a pause between paragraphs. This is going to affect your speech synthesizer's voice inflection to a degree. And what you set it as is really a user preference. I'm going to down arrow to the last item in this list.
Mute synthesizer.
JAWS speaks mute synthesizer. This option is useful if you've got a software synthesizer such as Eloquence, the dedicated software synthesizer that comes along with JAWS. This item allows you to get your synthesizer out of the way so that you can use your sound card for something else. A lot of times if your synthesizer is trying to speak at the same time that you're trying to play a real audio file, for example, you may get an error message. So, if you're browsing the internet and you come across a real audio file that you would like to stream, you could use JAWS in your software synthesizer to begin the process, then press Insert plus V, plus the hotkey, which is the letter M, which will ensure that JAWS or your synthesizer won't try to grab the sound card as you're listening to that real audio file. Simply press the letter M, or the space bar, to turn synthesizer muting off. That's everything in this dialog, so I'm going to exit it by pressing the Escape key.
Document-HJPad. Edit.
All the changes that you affect within the Adjust JAWS Verbosity dialog are temporary and will not be in place the next time you run JAWS for Windows. These changes may be made more permanent and application-specific from within the JAWS Configuration Manager. See the section on using the JAWS Configuration Manager for more information on how this works.
You have reached the end of Side 2. Please fast forward to the end to queue up Side 1 for your next listening.